Well, good morning, church. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest in our midst, really glad to have you here this morning. And for those of you who tuned in online, thank you for taking time to join us. That little clip that you saw was from our trip to Rock Creek a week ago Saturday. Our mission team went, and we delivered some basketballs and just some sporting equipment and some school supplies and some diapers and our old 24-passenger bus, which you'll see here in a minute. But I will tell you this, that I have been to Haiti, and I have been to Pine Ridge, and I have been to Rock Creek, and I have been to Loughborough, and there is more hope in Haiti than there is on our reservations. And 2 hours away from here, to see the poverty, to see the hopelessness, to see the drug addiction, to see the children running around in the streets unsupervised. It's absolutely gut-wrenching and it's heartbreaking. But I will tell you that in the midst of it, there is hope. In the midst of it, there are people that are bringing the hope of Jesus, because that's the only hope for them and for us. We're going through a sermon series called Baggage, and we're going through the fruit of the Spirit. And of all of the fruit of the Spirit, in my opinion, me personally, the most difficult one is patience, long-suffering, perseverance. Because we live in a culture that is all about instant gratification. I want it, and I want it now. Instant information, instant food, instant success. And so we're breeding this culture of, I want it, I want my way, and I want it now. There was a story of a mom that took her little boy to the General Robert E. Lee, little baby, and said, what advice would you give me in raising this child? And he said, ma'am, teach your child to deny themselves. Now that takes patience. That takes being willing to not have our way. That means that when things don't go according to plan, that's okay. Because every day when you get out of bed, you have one of two options. You have your way and you have God's way. And if you're not going to submit to His will, you just keep right on trucking. But I will tell you this, that if it's your way, then you're on a highway and you're driving 70 miles an hour and that bridge is out. And if they don't know Jesus, they will crash and burn. The only hope that we have is Christ. Period. James, in the book of James, was writing to a church that was under heavy, heavy persecution. And right towards the end of the chapter, he writes them a word of encouragement. So if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open them up to James 5. We're going to be reading starting in verse 7. That's John 5. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You, too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets, who in the name of the Lord, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for waking us up today. Thank you for the gift of life. And Lord, I just pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that today you would bring encouragement where it needs to be brought, that you would bring salvation for anyone that may not know you, that Father, you would just bring hope for somebody that might be in a hopeless situation, but that ultimately, Father, you would be glorified through this message. In Jesus' name, amen. James here is making it pretty clear that patience, which is defined as the ability to bear trials without grumbling, to go through difficult time without getting negative, is to naturally define a child of God. So I ask you, if you're a child of God, does patience define you? Colossians 3:12 says that we are to clothe ourselves with patience. We are to put it on. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Three times, James is telling the church, be patient, be patient, be patient. It was raining the day that we went to Rock Creek, and I was taking the license plates off of the bus. And as I handed the screwdriver back to Larry, he said, Mike, I want you to know that we have been praying for this moment for 4 years. We have 16 people that live in our house, and it's 3-bedroom, 2-bath. We have to take several vehicles when we go somewhere. And he said, God answered our prayer today. And I had a moment. At a moment, because that's what it looks like to be in prayer and patiently wait upon the Lord. We pray and then we expect Him to move when we want Him to move. And He's saying, wait upon me. It's my plan. It's my time. And that bus right there is going to offer them an opportunity to take the 16 people in their house and transport them to necessary things, school, doctor's appointments, church. And it's something that most of us here don't even think twice about, a vehicle. As we were driving that bus down those streets and watching all of the children and watching the couple of kids that were on our bus get out and go and bang on the door and invite other kids to come, I thought to myself, God, thank you for the perspective, but I apologize and I repent because I'm surely a man that idolizes comfort. I'm surely a man that doesn't suffer well. I'm surely a man that is way too wrapped up in me and my plan and in my life. God, forgive me, because right in our backyard, that's going on. Unemployment rate is 90%. They can't get teachers, so they contract them from the Philippines and have them come in. They have a big fence and 3 trailers where those teachers will stay to educate the children, 2 grades per class, and the list goes on. And in the middle of all of that are 2 people that God has touched and transformed that are bringing the light and the hope of Jesus. James then says here to be patient until the coming, till the Lord's coming. And he says it twice. He's telling the people, Christ is coming. So be patient. Wait upon the Lord. Now that should actually humble us. Why? Because I don't know if we think enough about the reality that Christ is going to come back. And when he comes, it will be swift. And there won't be any, oh wait, just a minute. This actually is a call to live with careful expectation of the return of Christ, that how we're living our lives in the very moment actually matters. And Jesus spoke of his return in Matthew 24. He said, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son of Man, only the Father. But he will come. So we're to keep watch. Matthew 24:42 says, because you do not know the day on which the Lord will come. So what does this do? This challenges us really to holy living, to walking with humility and purity before the Lord, seeking first and foremost to be faithful and to honor and glorify Him. And never is it more difficult than when we suffer. James ties being patient with suffering. They're tied together. They're not separated. And we are living in a time where persecution is rampant. Persecution in the 21st century has been more than in the previous centuries combined. And according to a study by the Open Doors World Report, that in 2021, 360 million Christians lived in countries where persecution was significant. Every 90 minutes, a Christian dies for their faith, even as we speak. So suffering is linked to patience. And suffering is just a reality of life. The reality that life is fragile, that we will experience loss, that we will have trouble. Jesus told his disciples in the Gospel of John 16:33, he said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's the key. Trouble's coming, but I have overcome the world. Life is a series of speed bumps. You're either coming up on one, you're going over one, or you're just coming out of one. And that's just the reality of life. But the question is not whether or not we're going to suffer. The question is not whether or not we're going to have trial. The question is, are we going to suffer well? Are we going to persevere in the faith? Are we going to let whatever we're going through glorify God and point other people to the hope that we have? In this text, the word establish in the Greek means to make strong, to set fast, to be like concrete. And then he uses the analogy of a farmer. And the farmer plants the crop and waits for it to yield fruit. Now the farmer works the soil. The farmer plants the seed. But the farmer doesn't make it germinate. It germinates naturally. But he has to wait. And he has to wait upon the Lord to bring rain, to bring sunshine, for it to come to full maturity. And it takes time. And for us, when we're going through the trials and the fire, God is refining us. Church, please never forget, God is always at work. Always. He is working as we speak. He is working on some of your hearts even as we speak. And I pray if you're here today and your heart's hard, that God will soften it. And I pray here if you're carrying hurts and pains and wounds and anger, that God will bring healing. He wants to, because he's the great deliverer. But he wants submission and obedience. And he wants us to trust him. Don't waste anything. Brenner and I do a devotion together almost every night. And one of the devotions I'll never forget was a little boy that Tim Tebow talked about that was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And this little boy went to a retreat, and they got together, and the counselor said, I would like for you to name one thing that you're grateful for. And the little boy said, I'm grateful for my cancer. And it stopped everybody in their tracks. I'm not grateful that I'm suffering. I'm not grateful that I'm sick all the time. But I'm grateful because through that, God has showed me how faithful he is. And that I can trust him. And that I have hope. Can you say today, whatever it is that you're going through, that you can say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that when I am weak, you are strong. Thank you that when I absolutely can't take another step, that you will carry me. That I want to be patient and wait upon you. Maybe it's a fractured relationship. Maybe it's a struggle at work. Maybe it's a financial crisis. Maybe it's a struggle with fear and doubt and anxiety, whatever it is. Every one of you has a story. The question is this: who is the hero of your story? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? And then James goes on to say, look, don't grumble. Tough times are going to come, but don't be negative. Don't gripe and complain. And he talked about the prophets and all of the prophets, how they suffered for just being faithful servants of God. They told the people only what God told them to tell them, and the people absolutely persecuted them. Why? It wasn't the people. It wasn't Jeremiah. It was what God said, which what God told Jeremiah that the people didn't want to hear. So they took it out on Jeremiah. What about Job? What about poor Job? Job in Job 1:1 was seen as blameless, upright. He feared God. He shunned evil. He was married. He had 10 kids, 7 boys and 3 girls, and he was wealthy. And Satan approached God and said, you know what? If you bring him trial, he's going to turn his back on you and he's going to curse you. And God said, all right, here's the deal. You can do this and this and this, but you can't kill him. And he did. He inflicted him with severe illness, lost all 10 kids. Imagine that some of you in this sanctuary have lost kids. And there's nothing more painful and tragic on this earth than burying a child, a son or a daughter. He lost 10. Lost everything. Went from wealthy to poor. And his wife says to him, why don't you just curse God and die? Supposed to be his best friend and supporter, finally says, I've had enough. Curse God and die. And he refused. And his friends show up. And at first, they did right. They were just present. And then what? Then they opened their mouth and everything went south. Job, surely you have some sin in your life that you need to get rid of because God is just pouring out his wrath on you. Like, that's helpful. But in it all, he never cursed God. He stayed faithful. A great truth of Scripture is that those whom God saves, God keeps. If you're saved, he will sustain you to the very end. Whether it be long life or short, he will keep you and he will sustain you. Philippians 1:6 says, for I am confident, Paul says, of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. He that began the work, you didn't begin it, I didn't begin it, he started it. And he's going to finish it. He's going to carry it through. And we must trust, church, that as we persevere through trial and change and struggle, that God is doing a divine work. You know, I think there's this misunderstanding that perseverance has everything to do with giftedness. But it's simply not true. Perseverance has nothing to do with giftedness, and everything to do with our heart. Who has your heart? Who has your heart? Where is your focus is really the question. In 1981, there's a gentleman by the name of Bill Broadhurst, and he ran a 100-meter race, which is 6.2 miles in Omaha, Nebraska. 10 years earlier, he had suffered an aneurysm, and so he was paralyzed on the left side. He goes to the starting line with 1,200 other racers, and the gun goes off. And one step at a time, he put one foot in front of the other. And with that lame leg, he shifted his hip, and he swung his leg. And some of the fast racers got done with that race in 30 minutes. And 2 hours and 29 minutes later, here comes Bill. And as he's approaching the finish line, there was a racer that had finished long before that by the name of Bill Rogers, who was an Olympic athlete. And he jogged out to meet the other Bill, and he encouraged him past the finish line. And then he took off the medal that he had won that morning, and he put it on him, and he said, you're the winner today. That's perseverance. That's running the race. That's saying I won't quit. That's saying, God, bring me whatever you will, but you sustain me. Help me to be patient in suffering. When things get really challenging and really messy, God, help me. I trust you will be faithful to the end. And in order to do that, our focus must be on Jesus. Isn't it interesting that the Son of Man, God in the flesh, lived on every word that came from the mouth of God? Isn't it interesting that the Scripture tells us that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith by the way that he lived. That's Hebrews 12:2. It's amazing. As we were leaving Rock Creek, we were standing inside because it was raining. And we were kind of standing in a circle and we were saying our goodbyes. And Kay just kind of started to talk to us about how difficult and how challenging life was in that particular community. And then she said something that really struck me. Because she's not from there, her husband is from there. She's actually from the Sisseton area and had moved to the big, I think Minneapolis maybe, or a bigger city, so she kind of got away from the reservation. But she said, there are many days that I wake up and I say, God, why am I here? Why am I here? There's just so much heaviness and hopelessness. And then she told us a story about one of her sons that when he was little, I forget how old, that his mom had left him at the dump. And they went and found him. And they took him in. And they loved on him. And he's still there with them today. And I thought, okay, that's why you're here. That's why you're here. You and Larry are being the hope where there's no hope. You're bringing Jesus into the darkest, most challenging situation that you could ever possibly fathom. You're feeding the hungry. You're clothing the naked. And you're trusting God to do what only He can do. Each of us have a race to run. And Paul writes to Timothy, as he's contemplating his own death, he's in prison, and in 2 Timothy 4:7, he's evaluating his life and ministry, and he says to Timothy, Timothy, keep fighting the good fight. Timothy, finish the course. Timothy, keep the faith. Notice this. He doesn't say anything about winning. Because perseverance has nothing to do with winning. It has to do with finishing. And it has to do with focus on Jesus, on the cross, on the hope that Jesus Christ is our victor. Strength will rise as you wait upon the Lord. Whatever circumstance you're going through, wait and pray and trust. Put one foot in front of the other because God will be faithful. God will see you through to the end. There's no situation that's bigger than Him. There's nothing that takes Him by surprise. And there's nothing that He does that ever fails. So as you run the race, keep your eyes and your mind and your heart fixed on Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, then you need Him. He's the only hope you have. And if you have Jesus, church, He's all you need. He's all you need. I would invite you to stand as we read Hebrews 12 together. Church, don't just read these words this morning. Proclaim these words from Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Let's read together. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You that You are the author and the perfecter of our faith. Thank you, Father, that if we keep our focus on you, that when we do grow weary, we will not lose heart. You will give us strength to soar on wings like eagles. There is no one like you, God. I know there are people here today and that are listening online. They need you, Jesus. I pray that you just bring them to that point of brokenness and repentance where they just put their full faith and hope and trust in you to be saved from their sins, to be redeemed and made new. There are many here today that do love you, that have put their trust in you, and Father, they're struggling. May they lean into you as you lean into them. And may they continue to persevere, trusting that you, Father, will see them through. God, we love you and we thank you. And may we just be filled with your peace and your joy and your love and your mercy and your grace that is made new every moment of every day. God, thank you for victory. God, thank you for forgiveness. And God, thank you that we know that the best is yet to come. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. And may you go in the strength of his grace and his love and run the race that he's carried out for you, trusting him to get you to the finish line in Jesus' name.